Vice, The Final Frontier. These are the voyages of Matthew McConaughey, again, into a movie where Jodie Foster's dad is the alien.
Yeah, it's crazy how Jodie Foster shows up at the end, and you're like, oh, they really did just splice in the ending from Contact. No, they don't. We're kidding.
They kind of do.
Oh, we can't say that. We can't spoil the movie 4 seconds into the review, man.
Okay. Well, how about improve the special effects on Contact.
That's true.
You know, I want to ask y'all. Y'all can cut this out. Feel free.
No,
I think we should cut
that.
Out everything we just set
don't
up to this point.
That. You could ask me spoiler questions.
No, this isn't a spoiler question. Would it be a good idea to maybe have one part of the review be non-spoiler and then another part be spoiler?
Maybe we'll come back later and do a spoiler.
And then we'll connect them. They'll be inter-spoiler.
And then there could be we can set up a tesseract and there'll be a whole thing.
But
of
we're
how
reviewing
we, yeah.
Interstellar.
Is that what we're doing?
I thought it was Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
No, this is the new Christopher Nolan film, which of course is accompanied by your typical amount of Hans Zimmer stringed Sturm und Drang by society in general. Oh, it's gonna be the greatest movie of the year.
I have never seen a filmmaker whose every opening scene should just be pomp and circumstance playing. Because that's really what Christopher Nolan at this point, it's like, shit, it's a new Christopher Nolan film. We've gotta like roll out the red carpet and prepare our minds to be blown. And, you know, normally I'm totally on board with that kind of mentality because he has done so in the past.
I mean, I find the longer I do this as a critic, the less such anticipation actually plants a seed in me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I've been burnt so many times.
Well, the less and less you're their demo. They're like, well, they're not going to get you.
Right.
But I tell you, you know, you say that every time a Christopher Nolan movie comes out, it's sort of a Sturm und Drang. You're supposed to go see it. I feel that way about, and I feel horrible for saying this because I'm supposed to know this. The guy who made Avatar.
James Cameron.
The guy who made
the
Avatar.
Fellow responsible for Avatar.
You are speaking of the director of Piranha 2, The Spawning, and you will show some goddamn respect.
I tell you, back in 2009, this sort of reminds me of that, how all of a sudden I was supposed to see Avatar. Nothing, everything on TV, everything on the internet was like, you better go fucking see this movie or you are a bad human being. And it's sort of the same thing to me.
Well, you know what? I will say this, probably the most controversial, make people angry in the comment section of anything I'm going to say during this review. I enjoyed Avatar more than Interstellar.
Well, funny enough, my problem with both of those movies, with both Avatar and Interstellar, is there's a lot of shit in both those movies I've seen before. There's
true,
a lot of shit in both of those movies that feel like, okay, so the basic premise, oh, by the way, this is the Highly Suspect Review, and I'm Brian.
Michael.
Elliot.
Chris.
Hey, we did it.
Hey, we're the monkeys.
We didn't even have to fold a piece of paper to explain to you who we are. So the basic plot here is that this takes place in a future where the world has become so grossly overpopulated that we're running out of food, and we've kind of entered into like a second dust bowl. Like, the population has grown to a point where we can't feed everybody and crops.
It's post-immediate apocalypse with people dying off from hunger, and now it's like the plants aren't growing back.
It's basically a disaster spiral.
It's a weird, like, I would never have thought that the easiest way to describe this movie to people would be if you combined 2001 A Space Odyssey with The Grapes of Fucking Wrath.
I knew you were going to say that.
It would be Interstellar.
By law, you have to mention 2001 A Space Odyssey when reviewing Interstellar.
Well, because there's even a, like, spinning, like, fucking space station they hook up with, and I just see my head going, da 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 da, dun dun, rip off.
Well, and a little bit of anime and Armageddon, honestly.
Yeah.
I got a little bit of Armageddon off of this movie.
Oh, my God.
Is that why you didn't want to close your eyes when
you watched it? Thank you for diffusing the comments against me for the Avatar.
Hey, you know what? Y'all, you're not taking me seriously, but just hear me out. You got a guy who's supposed to be the guy. He's the country guy.
Be careful of spoilers, Elliot.
Okay, I'm being careful. Okay. The country guy who, you know, he knows better than all those eggheads.
Right,
even though
Toby
he himself is an egghead.
So in
Armageddon, you had the Toby Keith was Bruce Willis. He was the drill guy that knew how to drill, and they didn't know what they were doing. Well, you got Matthew McConaughey is the pilot. They don't know what they're doing.
We'll put a boob into space. It's the American way.
So then you got, he has a connection with his daughter, who he has to talk to, and has a complicated relationship with, and there's a scene with them talking on a screen. I'm really this is hard.
Thank God there's no Jessica Chastain having sex with Ben Affleck.
There's an Affleck in the movie. That's
all
I'm saying.
Yeah, but
and then there's a Billy Bob Thornton character. Who's like, hey, I want you to come do this. You know, you're the one. We need you.
So to finish the plot...
You're not entirely wrong, but I just don't want to think about it like that.
So to finish the plot, they basically figure out that the only way they're going to save the Earth is to find another planet. So they're not going to save the Earth. They're going to try and repopulate somewhere else. So they're launching... They've already launched all of these astronauts through this magical wormhole to these other planets. And, okay, I'm going to stop right there. Because... They talk a lot about black holes in this movie, and I had just watched Event Horizon recently.
God, I love that movie.
And they even explain what a black hole is in the exact same way as they do in Event Horizon. Like, they could take a piece of paper, draw two X's on it, and then they're like, and then space folds. And I'm like, yeah, I saw this when it was a the pinup model of 2049.
Sorry.
In Event Horizon.
To be fair, it feels like both of them read A Wrinkle in Time.
Am I the only one who's not disappointed that Maximilian didn't appear at some point?
Thank you. Yeah, that too. Anthony Perkins is like, I don't even know why I'm here, but here I am. And the robot should have been voiced by Slim Pickens. God damn it.
I'm thinking Johnny Five.
You know, this is Nolan really... Like, okay, so you got to talk about Inception for a second to talk about this, because Inception was really far-reaching, high-concept stuff that was its own mythology that... worked within itself. Was it confusing? Sure. But it was decipherable in the mythology it created for itself. Okay. You could understand its rules if you were paying attention. Everything fit together. And one of the reasons I think it worked better than Interstellar, which is many ways doing the same thing, is that it's not reaching beyond that. It doesn't have this goal to say something grand about humanity and life in the world. Inception?
Oh, no, not Inception.
No.
Sorry.
Interstellar's problem is that it does.
Okay.
And Nolan treats it with all the delicacy of a Hallmark card, quite frankly. There's a whole conceit of, like, love is as powerful a force as time.
He didn't know how to do it. He got into this... I felt like I was watching somebody work out a math problem. And then the math gets too hard, and they just say, and a wizard did this next part.
No, it'd be like somebody trying to figure out a math problem by crying on it.
But all the Star Trek moments, which, you know, Star Trek, but it's Star Trek. This is something trying to be like, this is hard sci-fi. And it's like, every problem is dealt with Captain Picard or Data figuring out something at the last minute of, like, incredibly high science that... physicists have been working on for centuries that Matthew McConaughey is just like, oh, I just figured it out.
I know how to fly.
And that's only the good. That's only the charitable parts. There are parts where he just has the characters talk to each other, but in effect, talking to the screen about how an emotional force can draw them to where they need to go. And I'm like, I didn't know I was watching Blue's Clues.
Well, I don't know. I feel like a lot of this movie is actually really well put together as far as something like, I think the ending of the movie in being not entirely explaining what the end of the movie, the film itself, Christopher Nolan doesn't actually fully explain in kind of a grand deus ex machina at the very end of the film. And I think that can actually extrapolate backwards to explain that I don't necessarily agree that the film is saying love is a transcendent force. I think the film might be saying, and I can't really go into this too much without spoiling it.
Love is the fifth element.
Kind of. I think what it's saying is, is it safe to say the they of the film?
The they?
The they.
The well, they
I mean,
of the
I don't.
Film.
I think that the biggest twist in here is who the they
well,
is.
Well, but that's what I'm saying is I think that what the film is saying is that the they of the film understands the characters of the film and so can exploit things like love will make them do this.
Well, here's the problem, though, with that is you say he doesn't wrap it up with the deus ex machina, but he also doesn't... He doesn't wrap it up at all. He just sort of... Let me finish. He just sort of ends it. And he doesn't tell us how it really ended and how this makes sense within itself.
Well,
a movie has to make sense within itself for me to give it credit as a story. And it doesn't. It just sort of goes, and this happened, and we don't really know how this affected this and this affected this. Well, because it gets so wrapped up in its own thing.
Your Honor, can I approach the bench,
please?
I can't agree with you on that. I think it makes sense within its own mythology. It's just... a really silly series of conceits to get to where they want you to go.
Uh-huh.
I think there's a lot of stretching of pretty basic science. There's a lot of things that are like, no, it doesn't work that way.
And it picks and
as well as aspect ratios, did you say? I mean, there's a lot of points I'm like, look, even a guy who reads Discovery magazine casually knows that's bullshit.
Right.
You know, I'm like, I thought there were like top scientists consulting on this film. They may have just done, I asked him about those parts. Okay, that's not going to bother everyone, and that's fair. If that doesn't bother people, I don't have a problem with that necessarily. There's lots of great movies that don't stick by what's actually plausible.
Sure. Yeah, the sigh of the sci-fi of a lot of movies is a little inky if you think about it, but at all. Well, so I don't feel like that's really. I think the reason that this movie is going to be criticized more for that is because there's this perception that Christopher Nolan is trying to be the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah, it's it sells itself as hard sci-fi.
It is hard sci-fi. It may not be like, it may not conform to things that we know in textbooks, which is fine, and I totally like freely admit that there are going to be factual errors when you're dealing with the world of fiction, but it is like the concepts that they're playing with are very much hard sci-fi. The thing about it is, the thing that keeps me from loving sci-fi as my favorite genre is that I feel like, especially with futuristic sci-fi, there is a lot of just very sterile coldness to it. Like, when you get into something that is a little bit more, I won't say bogged down, but very much more concerned about being as scientifically factual as it can be, again, still speculating years forward in the future what we're going to have discovered, that it loses a lot of its humanity. And I feel like if there's a fault to be found with Interstellar, it's that it leans too hard on the side of bringing humanity to hard sci-fi. And it's like the human stuff in the movie, I think, works incredibly well, but I can totally understand how it is going to kind of undermine the harder sci-fi concept of it.
That's just it. It's not that the performances, or even in the entire first three quarters of this film, do anything to hurt it. In fact, that is a strength. It's the way they wrap into everything else, the way that he feels that this humanity that he's introduced to this has to be part of the entire solution that is troublesome in the storytelling aspect of it. And honestly, as somebody who doesn't have that same problem with the sterileness of like that type of sci-fi, like in fact, feels like as I'm watching this sort of thing, just a upsurge of hope for humanity and the future.
Yeah,
watching,
and fuck that, right?
Going into space. I mean, like, the first quarter of this film is, the middle of this film is my favorite part, is you're, like, watching them, you know, do these things that we can only dream of right now, traveling through space. That fills me with, like, you know, just needles in the back of my neck, just like, oh, God, it's amazing. It's so beautiful to look at. But there's a sappiness that comes in as he feels like everything has to be tied up in a neat little bow towards the end. Like every aspect, every thread of the plot has to be tied up. That I was earlier going, I really hope this isn't what they're doing. And he did exactly the things I was afraid he was going to be doing towards the end.
Well, you know, about two-thirds of the way through, you sort of know the ending.
No, I mean, like, when those events that we're seeing reflected towards the end, when they first happened, I was like, I really hope this is not what's happening right now.
Well, I was hoping that they weren't, but it kept on getting like, oh, this is what they're heading towards. And that actually goes back to, I think, what's wrong with this movie, for me, is it feels like overreach.
That's what the exact word I used.
They had a great premise. We're going to do this. We're going to show space travel. We're going to do all this. And then they went just a bit too far to where a lot of their space travel, like, I can deal with if you're going to have like a special type of engine that's not around yet, like a vacuum engine, or it's like this. I know it's this new type of thing where I don't know the science of it, but it's like a new, like an ion drive or something like that. If you're going to have this new kind of drive that gets them across the stars, or if they're going to open a black hole, I can go with all that.
I don't have any problem with you starting off with the science and saying, okay, this is this new thing that lets us do this.
But they don't do that. They start off with, here's this. For all intents and purposes, because they don't understand it themselves, here's this magic that allows us to do it. And I'm trying not to spoil
it. I'm not sure I agree with that.
I don't either.
Like, this thing just appears, and like that's what it doesn't give it doesn't give humanity, in my opinion, enough credit, because all we're doing is taking a taxi to a train that gets us to where we need to go.
I say the existence of all that is. I think existence of all that is fully explained by the end of the movie. Well, I just didn't like the explanation
by the end of the movie, but it. For me, it took me out of thinking this was science when the thing that gets us where we're going to get is not something that we ourselves did alone. That's what took me out of it. It was something that it's like a tram appeared, and we're like, oh, we should get on that tram.
Nobody's going to help you with anything, are they? You're just like, fuck that, I can do it.
No, but if you're gonna build this as hard sci-fi, don't plop down that, because I feel like I'm watching Deep Space Nine.
Okay, the defining novel of hard sci-fi is perhaps Larry Niven's Ringworld, which is exactly that. Humanity encounters this giant fourth thing in space that they can't explain. Mm-hmm. That comes from another culture entirely.
But then that's fine. But don't I've been keeping up this movie for about half a year now. I've been reading IO9 about it. I've been reading, and they've been like, this is science. This is gonna be great. And don't build it that way. And then just put this Deus Ex Machina out there that we didn't have anything. But that's only my point.
I don't think we can go with you on that one.
It's crazy too, because I would like to figure out exactly who was billing it that way. Because you know what I mean? Because I feel like this is a situation.
I didn't feel that way from the trailer.
But this is what I'm saying. This is what's so crazy about this, is that you reach a point, I think, as a filmmaker, where you've become so renowned that everybody expects your next movie to just be the absolute end-all be-all.
Sure.
And then you have all of these, you know, sites that say, oh, this movie's going to be the end-all be-all. Like, trust me, no, it's going to be this. And then you see it, and it's like, this is just something that interests me for any movie, not just Christopher Nolan, but any movie. It's like, where that expectation is really fostered, and then how we use that expectation against the movie and whether or not that's fair. It's an interesting discussion that we can have on any other movie.
That's very true. You know? But we've been talking about the things that we don't like about it and discussing at some level of back and forth on the minutia of that. There's many, I mean, we obviously very much could have a full spoiler yeah. podcast.
I'm pretty sure one of my daughters is named Minutia.
but I will say that there's a lot of really good things about this.
Oh, hell yeah.
That it's important not to think that we're just blowing it off. I mean, cinematography here is astonishing.
And I will fall on my knees and fillet Christopher Nolan for still shooting movies on film. Oh my God, thank you. Really, for the love of God. It was so amazing to see this movie on an IMAX screen, and every once in a while there's just this little artifact just moving up. It's like, oh my God, it's on film. Oh my God, you guys, it's on film. I'm so excited now.
And plus, it wasn't just that, you know, he wanted to have the film be shown in film. It actually adds something to the end of the movie.
Yeah.
When there's a certain scene where, being on film, I really got why he wanted it on film all of a sudden. And I can't say more without spoiling it.
So the Vague Squad.
Hey, I'm over here vague booking. I'm just trying.
That's why he can see me looking at him like, don't you do it. Don't you do it.
I finally understand, Martin. It's so tempting. Just be like, this is what I want to say.
No, it's beautiful. The outer space shots, the shots of just, you know, their home with the dust clouds coming over. I mean, like, really, this thing is so beautiful that even the moments that, if you're like me and you were like, oh, why are you doing this movie? You still will be sitting there admiring how pretty it is while it's happening. I mean, just gorgeous. The performances are really, really strong. Although there's this one little speech by Anne Hathaway that's kind of centered to the conceit of the plot that even as I was happening, I was rolling my eyes going, oh God, this is what I was afraid of this movie was going
to
do.
I would love to travel back in time.
She doesn't quite pull it off.
And meet Chris before he became so jaded.
Yeah.
Like, where
is
Chris that doesn't hate humanity?
I love humanity. I'm a secular humanist, for that matter. I just find that when it's...
Which is code for, fuck you, get off my lawn.
I find that when you're going to take a crowbar to force it into a movie, it's...
I'm not arguing with you. I think it's very schmaltzy, but it's just kind of been the crux of your argument against this movie is... Oh, fucking love again?
I don't have any problem with that, if that makes sense. It just doesn't ultimately make any sense other than because we said
Chris,
so.
Chris, neither does love.
Would you shut
up, Brian? No, a Lifetime original movie.
I mean, he is
space
right.
Love.
Like, it just, they mentioned it nowhere before then. And then just, boom, now it's a thing.
It's a because we said so argument. Yeah. And it's for a movie that otherwise is indeed at least had the pretense of being hard sci-fi, other than the fact that I'm pretty sure black holes don't work that way.
How do you know?
Because he's been inside one, apparently.
No, because we've studied them at least enough to understand some things, which is that you couldn't even get that close. Just saying.
Captain Miller got that.
Well, before you know,
shut up, Brian.
I think there's a risk of, because this movie is so involved and it is so complicated, there is a risk of staying focused on, you know, this sounds weird, the writing and the plot. But I want to echo Chris and say the performances. Matthew McConaughey
is so good.
Is in full peak reconnaissance. Yeah. I did not see a missbeat in that performance at all.
You know, I still got space on my mouth for another Oscar. So.
Seriously, and then Jessica Chastain was awesome.
She's always awesome.
Casey Affleck
is kind of in it.
Good. Topher Grace shows up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
He has a career again after Spider-Man 3.
And not to mention... Predators. Not to mention...
Predators was good.
Hell yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it was.
Elliot, not to mention the fact that if it's not your cocaine, it's...
My cocaine,
who is also in this movie, and is great.
Nice. I just walked right into that.
You drifted into it. We'll say you drifted into the gravitational pull of that joke.
Christian
you
Bale, can always, who is not in this movie.
You can always...
But you wonder why. Yeah. You're like,
I want to know why Sam Neill's not in this fucking movie. That's right? What I want to know.
You can always find me in the drift.
You can always find me
in
the drift.
Ellen Burstyn in a late career performance here.
We're just making up people that are in the movie.
No, she's in the movie.
Oh.
Well, whoever...
Jesus, Brian.
I couldn't tell. We were just naming things.
Were
like, Rin Tin Tin is fucking in the movie.
Well, whoever played Young Murph really did a good job, because she has to convey the emotional weight and act opposite of McConaughey. And
who
she
is
holds
McConaughey's
her own.
Daughter in this film. Who their relationship is probably the emotional core of this film.
Oh, yeah. And it's very realistic in that, you know, she's a 10-year-old. She's going to not understand and, you know... Just...
I'm leaving, possibly forever, to go save the world. Sorry.
And he's like, don't make me leave like this. But it's like, she's a 10-year-old. She doesn't have the tools to deal with this.
I think very much like Gravity, this is a film that's going to piss NASA off. Because there's going to be a generation of people going, why the fuck do we even spend money on research to go to space when movies look this good? Movies set in space look this amazing. And you really do feel like you're in space. It's a very, you know, enthralling, encompassing experience. And I love that about it. It was beautifully shot. There was not a moment of falsity in the effects, you know, and there wasn't
not
anything.
Nope.
Yeah. There's nothing that I saw and I went, wow, I don't know, that looks kind of cheap. Like, everything was so fucking gorgeous.
This is one of the, Hans Zimmer work as a composer is half and half with me. Half of the time I'm like, this is exactly the right soundtrack for the movie you're doing. And the other half of the time I'm like, please stop just ripping off Philip Glass, because it seemed like you weren't really doing much besides
'80s
minimalism here. Yeah. And this is one of those films I was like, it's the piano in Eyes Wide Shut. You're like, stop it. Stop just repeating the same shit over and over again.
I tell you, speaking of Hans Zimmer soundtrack, I have a funny story about that. I know it sounds stupid. Just follow me. 5 years ago, I was driving to work, and I had the Inception soundtrack playing.
Yeah. As you do.
And I get in a life-threatening accident as the bong, bong.
Which one?
As I'm crashing
the odds of you getting into an accident during that part in the score are pretty high.
Yeah. That's true. So as I'm crashing into the guardrail going 75, all I hear is bon. I'm like, God, if I die, we're gonna have a talk.
Flailing his limbs about like he's in the van flipping over and over again.
So every time I hear Hans Zimmer, I'm like, man, I hope that I never
so
get that.
This is why you keep spinning your little top right before we start reviewing.
I just messed with my ring.
Oh, okay.
Remember that time Hans Zimmer tried to kill Elliot? That's how I'm going to tell that story from now on.
But anyway, let's go to final thoughts here and start with Michael.
Okay, so this is, I think I bring an interesting. Perspective to this, because I don't give a shit about Christopher Nolan, and I didn't give a shit about this movie before I went and saw it. I had no expectations.
You are a tabula rasa when it comes to this movie.
I didn't love Inception. I liked Inception watching it, and I walked out of the theater and a day later was just fucking tired of it. And this, I mean, basically the same story with the Batman series. Liked him at the time.
Dark Knight?
I don't give a flying fuck.
Wow.
I'm from Chicago, so the Dark Knight's kind of like crammed down my throat.
Ah, fair enough.
That's an image.
That's a big thing people give a shit about there.
Someone fan art.
Don't draw that. Leave that alone. Swear to me.
So for me, I think that the thing that was really interesting to me about Interstellar is... Brian, you mentioned that a ton of the movies are rip-off and stuff you've seen before. And for me, that was the first two-thirds of the movie.
Mm.
It looked good. I'm not disagreeing at all. It looked good, but to be honest, I just like watching that. I've seen it in Sunshine. I've seen it in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something I've absolutely never seen before. I may never have seen it done this perfectly, but from a basic standpoint, space travel has been done this beautifully, at least in the same ballpark. You know, with the same intention, it maybe not pulled off the way Interstellar pulled it off. And I'm not belittling it, because I think Interstellar is one of the best examples I've ever seen of that. But for me, I thought the strongest part was the end of the movie. I mean, I understand what you're saying by the overreaching. But for me, so is 2001. And also, I feel like if you're going to try to do something interesting, you just have to be willing to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And while the movie, clearly, in this room, did not 100% succeed, the desire to create something interesting mm-hmm. with the final act of, you know, a space travel movie, I think that shows at the very end of the film. I think that there's a very clear direction that the film wants to go, and that is, there are moments in the ending that I've not seen. Basically, to kind of put it without spoiling anything, rarely do films go to the fifth dimension in a serious tone. Even if they don't fully explain it or explain it correctly, a film isn't often willing to go there. And so for Christopher Nolan to, I mean, I think Brian also makes a really good point that the expectations are just painfully high for this guy making Interstellar. And so the fact that he even tries for the fifth dimension when it would be really easy for him to just make a movie, clearly make a movie that people are going to like. He's not had problems with that in the past. He knows how to make a movie people are going to be into. So I'm going to credit Interstellar for getting it wrong and trying that hard to come up with something people weren't expecting. But like I said, I had no expectations going in, so it was all up for me. It couldn't have gone down. So I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 punching Topher Grace's in the face.
I always like to punch Topher Grace.
He still has it coming, to be fair.
Really
still
does.
Elliot.
I want to echo...
No spoilers.
I'm really trying. I want to echo what you said about just cinematography. This is the best I've seen it done, but it has been done before. I do like that they had the guts to not put sound when they was in space. That was really nice. It does add to the feeling of space being a desolate...
Terrifying vastness.
Yeah, that you will die... And I like some of the little small things about, you know,
space sounds. They've proven this now. Space sounds exactly like Hans Zimmer repeating the same leitmotif.
I might just kill myself.
Perpetuity.
The performances were great. The story does have emotional weight, and I know I've been hard on this movie in terms of the story, but the way I'm thinking about it is, I'm starting this movie out at a 10, but then I'm going to knock points off. Like, so for me, that the story doesn't line up, that's one point. For me, that it has a lot of influences, some from my favorite anime that I watch, but I don't feel like they really credit, they sort of take, that's another point. But I can't really take that much more, because I do like that they swung for the fences. They're sort of like a vector. Like a vector, you hit it, and then it goes off in one direction for forever.
Dubious science.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
Oh. Dubious math.
This is sort of like that. They were trying to hit a home run, and it just sort of veered off.
Chris doesn't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it went foul.
What's a home run?
Chris has no... He literally checked out the minute you said home run.
Ooh, I like chicken.
So the fact that they were trying that hard, and they really did try to push it, and they maybe didn't hit it for me, but that ending, those last 30 minutes were exciting. It was something I really recommend you go see. So with all that said, I am going to give it 8 robots who are surprisingly sarcastic out of 10.
Well, I'm actually going to go next because Brian's been so eloquent lately with his summations. I want to let him finish this one off.
Are you going to let me finish? You're going to let me finish.
I'm going to let you finish. But 2001 was the greatest sci-fi film of all time.
I don't think it actually was.
No, me neither.
But, I fucking hate them.
Yeah, I'm not even.
But I didn't see the Beyonce sci-fi movie, so I had to go to 2001.
I can see why it had a big effect in its time.
No, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But now it's like.
Now we need Interstellar.
No, we don't. We don't need Interstellar. Interstellar is a movie that has so many good things about it that it is disappointing in and of itself. The big problems that I had with it that have nothing to do with the anticipation of it. The movie itself sells itself on epicness once it starts.
Sure.
You know, on epic conceits of science and humanity and what have you. And when we get to the point where I feel like, wow, this is just the ending of Contact rewritten for this movie, I went, Seriously?
I love how you keep telling Elliot no spoilers, and then that's the second time you said that.
You'd have to really abstract
that. You just have to have known Contact.
Yeah, but you'd have to really abstract that to understand it, because Jodie Foster's dad does not appear and save, humanity.
Oh. I saw a different movie.
And honestly, I'm not trying to defend Chris, but it is sort of... It's like what he says sort of throws you off the trail because it is so different in the resolution of Contact.
It's just a really
you have to know exactly
thematically
where he's from.
It feels the same to me, and I found myself saying, I thought you were going to do something more interesting than that. I thought you were going to do something that I didn't see coming in the first 20 minutes of the film, going like, oh, I guess they could go there, but I bet they're going to be smarter than that. I bet they're going to have wider. I bet they're going to have a wider reach than that. But the film's widest reach is the stuff when they're trying to gibberish speak their science, much like Star Trek. It's like, it's going fast enough that the audience doesn't know what the hell's going on, so it doesn't matter whether it's plausible or not. It just sounds plausible the way they're doing it. And Matthew McConaughey or Anne Hathaway or what have you suddenly coming to these decisions of like, oh, wait, I just figured out this incredible decision that will... That would probably change the focus of all science on some level, but doing it to save their asses at any given moment. All that being said, there are some moments that will blow you away in this film, especially if you see it in IMAX. I mean, they're visiting multiple planets, and you're seeing the way that they look, especially the first planet in here, which has an effect sequence that was, like, actually left me kind of frightened and sweaty to see. Like, oh, fuck. Hope there's no sharks. Yeah, there is some really great stuff here, but it is ultimately the world's greatest, most complex, most pleasurable present to unwrap with just a really disappointing present at the core of it when you actually get past all the beautiful wrapping. And I'm going to have to leave this with a rating of... I hate that I'm doing this now. We went to 10 so we could have more numbers, but I'm going to say 6.5... Oscars that Matthew McConaughey is not quite going to get out of 10.
So there's a hindsight deterioration for me, which is unfortunate in that, you know, there's this old joke that do you believe in love at first sight? Yes. But then I took a second look. and that's kind of where I am with this movie is when I walked out for the first few minutes of me standing in that lobby, I loved it. And then I thought about it and I thought about it. And then I went home and all I could do was think about it. And then when I woke up the next day, I realized that this is going to sound like such relationship bullshit. I love the idea of it, but I didn't actually love it.
It wouldn't give you head.
It wouldn't, no.
That's enough where you're like, you know what, this isn't going to work.
Stingy with the BJs. But no, and the thing about stuff we've seen before, I usually am not the one faulting movies for that because you can be referential. Hell, you can like be completely beholden to something and still look at Quentin Tarantino's entire career is him like ripping off everybody, and yet he makes his movies his own. And the problem I think is that the stuff that they specifically are taking from other movies, if it was just window dressing, if it was just, you know, the nice decorations in the room, it would be fine. But the problem is that the walls are made of it. Like the most fundamental elements of the story are the things cribbed from other movies, and that's the problem. That's the difference between this and something that nods to this and that, and I totally enjoy on its own merits. And I think the performances are outstanding. I think, you know, I really like the idea of finding the humanity in the absolute, like, hardest science possible, in the coldest, most calculating numbers that you can punch in for physics, and still being able to find the humanity. And that reminded me actually a lot of this this play that I think they actually did turn into a movie called Proof. It's about a woman whose father is a brilliant mathematician who is slowly deteriorating because of Alzheimer's, and finds within the proofs that he does and all these numbers, like, the last thing that he can hold on to. And there's something that's very touching to me about finding the humanity in the coldest, like, most calculating science. And so I think I think that won me over and made me a little bit blind initially to some of the problems that as soon as I walked out of the theater and started thinking about it, it was like, oh, yeah, they are visible from space.
You mean like when Picard said, the line must be drawn here?
Yeah, pretty much. There's a moment where my rational brain went, dude, you got to draw the line.
There are four plot holes!
You got to let it go. And I still really, really, really like the movie. I think it's a great mix of spectacle and humanity, and I think it's going to really blow people away, and I think you absolutely have to see it in IMAX if you can. And it's just not quite there. But again, as much as I've been accused of giving away participation medals in the past, I do credit them for trying to do something this spectacular, something this ambitious, and you know, it fell a little flat in places. Better luck next time. But overall, I think I'm going to give this 7 out of 10 Maximilians.
You know what I'm wondering? Why's it got to be a black hole, Christopher? Christopher, what's up with that? Why can't it be a...
Some of my best friends
black
holes.
Why can't it be a tan hole?
You guys,
or a white hole?
Because a white hole would, you know, take what you have and then act like they never did it.
That's true.
You guys know what's great about Cooper's daughter in this? She keeps getting older and he stays the same age.
Just cut it. That's fucking cut. Just drop the mic right there.
Holy shit.